It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Dana Perino. Gene Becker was chief of staff to President George H.W. Bush after he left the White House. The deputy press secretary for Barbara Bush and a dear friend of mine. She is also an author. She first wrote about her former boss in her New York Times bestseller, The Man I Knew, The Amazing Story of George H.W. Bush's Post-Presidency. Jean recently joined me on the Fox News Rundown to discuss her latest book, Character Matters, and some of the stories she collected about Bush 41 from some of the people who knew him best. We had this great conversation about President Bush's life and how he inspired the people around him to serve a high purpose. We made some edits for time and thought you might want to hear the whole thing, especially since there's a lot of great stuff we did not include in our original segment. Thanks for listening, and if you haven't already, please subscribe to the weekly Fox News Rundown podcast. You can also find my podcast, Perino on Politics, every Monday by going to foxnewspodcast.com. Now, here's Gene Becker on the Fox News Rundown Extra. Gene Becker, it is such a pleasure to talk to you about Character Matters. How did this book come to be?
Well, Dana, I would love to tell you it was my brilliant idea that I woke up one morning and thought, I need to write a book called Character Matters about George Herbert Walker Bush. But it was my editor, our editor, I think we have the same editor. It was his idea. I was having lunch with him a couple of years ago after The Man I Knew came out, the book I wrote about being his chief of staff for 25 years. And I was pitching a couple of book ideas to Sean, and he looked at me across the table and he said, yeah, fine. We'll do those later. I have another book I want you to write about George Herbert Walker Bush. And I was a little confused. I said to him, you do remember he died at the end of the last book. And he said, okay, point taken. But he felt that George Herbert Walker Bush still had something to say to the world. He says, Gene, I just think there's so much we can learn from this man. And out of that conversation came Character Matters.
I adore this book. Character Matters, I think, is one of the most important books I've read in many moons. I love how you put it together. I love, in particular, the audiobook, as you pull together all these different voices of the lessons that they learned and the memories they have of George H.W. Bush, the humor that he provided to them, the comfort, the mentoring. I just think it's incredible. And wondered if you could tell me, if you had to pick two of your favorite stories from the book that could help people today think through where we are in terms of being good to one another and helping each other, what would they be?
That's a really tough question because there are so many great stories. So I'll just name a couple. In the very first chapter, Condi Rice writes an incredible story about when she was on his National Security Council team. She was a young Black woman, not well known among foreign policy circles. She was a professor at Stanford. And he took her to Malta with him, his first summit with Gorbachev. And in front of Gorbachev and all of his people, but also in front of his own team, James Baker, all the State Department people, he introduced Condi to Gorbachev and he said, this is my Soviet specialist. This is the woman who has my ear on all things Soviet. And Condi just writes so eloquently about, you know, particularly 30 years ago, a lot of men were still struggling about how to, you know, treat women in the workplace. And she said for him to do that just set an example of how you empower a young Black woman. Mm-hmm. And that he was just an incredible mentor to her. So that would be one of the stories. There's a great essay written by Joe Strauss, the former Speaker of the House here in Houston, Texas. And he writes about how President Bush, both houses of Congress were held by the Democrats all 4 years he was president, but how much legislation he managed to get through and how no one was better at reaching across the aisle. And he writes a very eloquent essay, Dana, about how important it is to set aside our differences and to work together. And he says it doesn't have to be the way it is now, where everybody just sort of shouts at each other. I've been quoting that essay a lot when talking about the book. One of my favorite short essays is written by one of Mrs. Bush's aides. She was covering the front desk of the office one day. Her name is Kara Sanders. And the phone just lit up. And one line was Colin Powell. One line with James A. Baker III. One line was then the governor of Texas, George W. Bush. And she was about ready to run into his office to say, oh my God, who do you want to talk to first? When the fourth line lit up and it was Barbara Bush. So she runs into his office and she said, sir, I have Colin Powell, Secretary Baker, and Governor Bush on the line. Oh, and your wife also is holding. And he said to her, you put Barbara through and you tell the other three I will call them back.
Hmm.
Dana, he was one smart man.
He sure was. He knew exactly what to do. I want to have you tell me two other stories. One about Mary Kate Carey, the speechwriter. In the book, she writes about how one of her speeches just bombed with an audience.
Yes.
And how nobody laughed. And he was obviously disappointed that the speech didn't land, but she thought she would get fired. What happened instead?
Yes. Well, no one laughed. No one clapped. It was a complete bomb. And he did ask her about it in the elevator going to the garage. It was a speech there in Washington. I can't remember who the speech was to, but it was an important speech and it bombed. She was one of the junior speech writers and she was prepared to get fired. She's not so sure she shouldn't have been fired. And instead he said to her, okay, we'll just move on from that. You'll do better the next time. Encouraged her to learn from her mistakes. And that was it. And he did tease her about it for the rest of his life. Every time he saw her, he would say, so Mary Kate, how's the speechwriting going these days? But he gave her a second chance. He was a huge believer in second chances. I can't tell you how many people said to me, I thought he would fire me. But he said, no, you're going to learn from this and we're going to move on.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
What about the start of Points of Light, how that came to be? And it's referred to in the book by somebody who didn't see the opportunity coming but really embraced it. And that is a legacy that continues.
It's a legacy that he's very proud of. He was very proud of Points of Light. He would love, Neil Bush is doing such a great job of leading the organization today as chairman of the board. So he was, both of the Bushes, both President and Mrs. Bush had been volunteers their whole life. When they lived in Midland, Texas, they helped find the YMCA there. They always volunteered in their churches. After their daughter Robin died, Mrs. Bush was a devoted hospital volunteer. He really felt deep in his heart that every problem in America could be fixed, not necessarily by the government, yes, with the government's help, but by us, by the people. And he used to say, you know, you start in your neighborhood and then you start in your city. And the first thing you know, you have a movement. So he first talked about Points of Light. This is my favorite part of the Points of Light story in the beginning. At the 1988 convention and his acceptance speech, and he talked about 1,000 points of light and his dream of a volunteer movement in America. And on his first campaign trip after the convention, James Baker and Senator Alan Simpson of Wyoming was traveling with him, and they both at the next speech right out of the box after the convention, they both said to him, what the hell are you thinking? This Points of Light, no one knows what that means. No one cares. It's just a dumb idea. you've got to forget that. People want to talk about the economy. They want to talk about the Soviet Union. Forget points of light. And he said, not going to do it, as Dana Carvey would say. He says, I'm devoted to points of light. And Dana, the rest is history.
It certainly is history. And I'm excited that this year, one of my friends, a young woman named Ashley Vick Brown, and she is going to receive an award from Points of Light. She does a lot of wonderful work for foster care and the Selfless Love Foundation. And let me tell you that this young woman is doing incredible work in that area and is a great point of light. Did you learn anything new from this project? Did you hear a story about George H.W. Bush that you
yes.
didn't already know?
You know, it goes back to Condi's story, and I'm embarrassed that I didn't really think about this. There's at least three or four stories in the book written by women. He was way ahead of his time, Dana, on promoting women, putting women in positions of power. My own personal experience with him, of course, could not have been more positive. I was his chief of staff for 25 years. I know he trusted me. I know he listened to me. He and I had a couple of interesting conversations about misogynists and misogyny. And he was sort of surprised that such men existed. And I'm like, oh yeah, they do. And I had a couple of examples for him. But when the story started coming in for this book, there was one from his congressional years, a woman named Mary Rather, who he made his head of legislative, his legislative assistant. And she used to take a notebook to the meetings that she attended with him to take notes. And he told her to stop. He says, I don't want people to think you're a secretary, Mary. I want them to know you're senior staff. Don't take notes. There's another great story told by Bobby Kilberg, who was senior staff, White House senior staff, head of public liaison. She had some young children. She really did. He offered her the job. She didn't think she could say yes because of her young children at home. And he said to her, Bobby, we're going to figure this out. I want you on my team. You help me design the job that works for a mother of young children. And there's a couple of other stories as well, beginning with Condi's. It really came into sharp focus for me, and my proofreaders, my volunteer proofreaders, noticed the same thing. He was way ahead of his time on making sure that women had a place on his team.
Tell me about, in the audiobook, my favorite actor, your good friend, who is the voice of George H.W. Bush. And I find it so incredible the way he reads, and I feel like I'm listening to President Bush 41.
Oh my gosh, that is the best compliment for George. He will love that. So George Dvorsky is a singer-actor who lives in New York. He's a theater singer-actor. And he was one of the Bush's favorite singers. They used to go see him a lot. He would perform here in Houston, in the theater here in Houston, also in Ogunquit in the summertime. And they loved his voice. George was a big Rodgers and Hammerstein. He did The Sound of Music. He loved doing Rodgers and Hammerstein. I think they saw him play Captain Von Trapp in The Sound of Music four or five times. So he would sing for them at Walker's Point. He would sing for special groups, and they became very close. So when I wrote The Man I Knew, and my publisher, the audiobook people, was going to hire an actor to read President Bush's quotes and whatever I had him saying directly in that book. And I said, you know, I have an idea for you. I have an actor I would like for you to consider. And so they had George come in for an audition, and the guy called me and said, yeah, we hired him in about 30 seconds. And he just did a great job. And I think what helps, Dana, is that George knew him so well.
Mm-hmm.
He knew him so well. And he is the perfect George Bush. I'm getting a lot of emails and calls about him.
Oh, it's fabulous. It's really great. Jean, my last question for you is, who is this book for? When you imagine your reader or your listener to the audiobook, who do you hope reads this book?
Well, my first answer is going to be everybody. But I'm going to give you one sort of smart aleck answer and then a serious answer. I would like to make it mandatory reading for everybody who lives in Washington, D.C. And if you can, if you have any good ideas on how to make that happen, particularly every single member of Congress, I think should read this book. It's really for young people. I read so often, and I talk to a lot of college classes and even a couple of high school classes, and they turn on TV and they're sort of confused and depressed by what they see. They're worried about their country. They don't really understand what's happening. And I hope this book will help them understand it doesn't have to be this way, and that they have it in their power to, I do think the next generation will turn this country around. And I want them to have real life examples of what real leadership is. And I'm getting a lot of reaction to this book, Dana. I think it's hitting them right in their heart and soul. I think it's working.
Well, it hit me in my heart and soul, and I'm grateful to you for writing it and for the opportunity that I had to know George H.W. Bush and Barbara Bush, and have been able to share in their life a little bit and to have benefited from that. And thank you, Jean Becker, the author of Character Matters.
Dana, can I say quickly, I hope you know how much they loved you. Thank you. I hope I see you soon.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.